Wonderful, thank you all, thank you all so much, that was beautiful.
Talk about tough act to follow.
Indeed, indeed. Now, I'm not catchy, but I still have a little bit of rasp to my voice, but I'm going to aim to make it through all the way today. But if I start to whispering, I'll just get closer to the microphone. How's that? Will you join me now in a word of prayer? Spirit of illumination and guidance, fill us with your presence. Help us to find ourselves, what we stand for, and who we are in the midst of all the distractions that surround us, competing for our attention. And in word, song, silence, and sacrament, grant us an awareness of your presence with us, right here, right now, moving in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Soren Kierkegaard said, "The most common form of despair is not being who you are." Do you remember when you first came out? And if you are an ally of the community, do you remember when you first came out as an ally? She does. A wonderful ally.
But born an ally.
The moment that you declared who you were openly and why these things are important to you. Do you recall the moment when you stood up for who you are and for all that matters to you? The first person that we come out to is always ourselves. That inner battle that we wage within, the feeling of being lost in the wilderness, crossing the desert, wrestling with doubts and temptations, the sensation of being in the search for ourselves, the journey to find our authentic selves, the vision of who we could be, who we are. It may be something that we ran from or denied for years. Do you remember that feeling? We test ourselves. We practice who we are. We begin wayfinding. We answer calls. And then we experience the inner assurance, the confidence of knowing that you are finally on the right path, that you are moving in the right direction, that you have found the star of yourself to guide you. The next step, of course, is to make that apparent to those around you. Coming out to others, claiming our own identity, that sense of being on the verge, on the edge of something really big, the sheer frightening excitement of the moment of telling someone for the first time who you are. That moment when you stood up for yourself, stood up for who you are and what you believe. We enter the life of Jesus here already in progress. He has been baptized by John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and he has entered the wilderness, discovering himself. He has been tempted, tested, filled with visions of power and greatness, with the temptation of feeding himself, feeding his own ego, and wrestling with the concept of revealing a very personal identity publicly. He worked through all the power and the glory with a vision of jumping off the peak of the temple in Jerusalem. Yeah, that'll show him. That'll really show him. Came the voice of the accuser within, the tempter within. So many voices within sometimes, and working through all the confusions and distractions, learning which inner voice to follow. Having survived that wilderness experience, that vision quest, having drawn from the isolation and desolation, both the wisdom and direction necessary for moving forward, he began preaching and teaching in synagogues, feeling out who he is, practicing who he is, coming to a greater and greater realization of his own identity, living into it, until finally he arrives in his old hometown. That's a big deal in so many ways. It's a tough crowd. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It is. They know us. Or at least they believe they know us. They believe they know us better than we know ourselves. We are, after all, our parents' children. And they have already placed us in a box, taped up, sealed up, labeled, and put in our place. It's one thing to come out to ourselves. It's another thing to come out in a bar in San Francisco. And it's another thing still to come out in a bar in our hometown. To come out in our hometown church, for goodness sake. That takes a lot of courage. Jesus did not run away from his Nazareth. His small rural hometown, he came back there differently. He came back another way. He was not the same as when he left. And he was okay with that. He was confident. If you can handle hometown crowds, you can handle any crowds. I promise you. And so when they handed him the scroll, I imagine him in that moment. It was an honor given to anyone competent and capable. The tradition was to stand up to read the scripture. And then to sit down and to teach from the scripture, to teach while sitting down. So as he stood to read, I can imagine he was given the honor, but also the test. Hey, let's see what this hometown kid can do. Perhaps half of them waiting in anticipation, perhaps half of them waiting, wanting him to fail. Because that's just the way some people are. Do you know some people like that? We haven't changed all that much in 2,000 years. In that moment, Jesus found himself. He found himself in the scripture. He found himself in the teachings. There I am. There I am. What an electric moment when we find ourselves in someone else's story. And so fitting that Jesus found himself in Isaiah. The barefoot prophet who occasionally preached naked. The one who spoke of the acceptance of eunuchs and outsiders. The one who helped to shed fears of others and welcoming foreigners and embracing aliens. No, Jesus finding himself in Isaiah makes sense. It makes perfect sense. As much sense as countless gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and trans folks living in some of the most rural and isolated areas of this nation found themselves in the folksy stories of life in San Francisco, as told by Amistad Maupin in Tales of the City. Reading Isaiah, it made such sense to Jesus. It clicked, it came together. He found himself there. The Spirit of God, the breath of God is upon me. The year of God's favor. Good news to the poor. Liberty to those held captive. Recovery of sight to the blind. Release to those in prison. Yeah, this is what he stood for. This was his ministry. Now, in reading from Isaiah, Jesus said a lot with a little. Within what he said, the year of God's favor. This is the year of God's favor. Now that occurred every 50 years, the 50th year. And what was it called? Very good, A plus. Quick response, very good. It was called the Jubilee, the year of justice and new beginnings, wealth redistribution, the economic equalizer. According to Leviticus, debts were forgiven. Land and property and wealth and position redistributed among original owners. Prisoners would be freed. servants released from indenture. It was a reboot. It was a reset. A time of liberty and justice for all. Unless, of course, you happen to be wealthy and already have it all. In which case, the good news is really not such good news after all. So in reading from Isaiah, some would think, pretty words. Others would think, dangerous words. And some would think, these are the words that I need to hear. These are the words I need and want to hear. Right from the get-go, as one scholar notes, the ministry of Jesus would draw some people to it and drive others from it. So Jesus says something wonderful and great, something terrible and scary, something inspiring and frightening. And then he sits down to teach, and all eyes are upon him, wondering what he's going to do. And then he lowers the boom. This is me. This is who I am. And this is now. This was in a little synagogue in the backwater town of Nazareth some 2,000 years ago. And this is still right now. This is still now. This is still that moment. And what does this mean for us? Some may think today, pretty words. Some may think, yes, that was what Jesus did, and that's what he was going to do. Past tense, put the work on him, okay? That was what he was going to do. For others of us, the good news is not entirely such good news because we realize that that charge is ours. That work is ours to do. We can't shovel it off on Jesus. We can't put the load on him. Because we find ourselves in that scripture as well. It is here and it is now. Jesus didn't say, praise me. He said, follow me. Jesus didn't say, worship me. He said, remember me. He instructed, he inspired, he challenged his disciples. He said, you will do even greater things than I. John 14, verse 12. The word Christian has become so distorted and co-opted, but if we are to be sincere followers of Christ, this right here, what was read today, is a point star in the constellation of the faith that we follow. These seemingly impossible tasks. What does good news sound like to the poor and the hungry? It sounds like bread. It sounds like bread. It sounds like finding inner nourishment and peace too. What does liberty look like to those who are held captive? It looks like much more than an open door. It looks like release. It looks like letting go. How do we sort out the many varieties of captivity, the isms that hold us captive and hostage to complicated systems? The prisons that contain us, that keep us locked within ourselves, unable to find ourselves. What does sight look like to those who do not see? What Jesus speaks of is now, today, in our own hearing. There's a San Francisco-based architect. His name is Chris Downey. He lost his sight in 2008. Following surgery to remove a benign brain tumor. An architect who has lost his sight. That seems like kind of a career ender, doesn't it? Yet Chris didn't think so, and his opinion was the one that mattered. His sense of who he was and what he was going to do, his identity was strong. He developed ways to practice his craft through embossed printing, through the manipulation of three-dimensional models. And he even began to develop and refine a new type of architecture and design, a design for the blind, designing new headquarters for the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired in San Francisco and collaborating with acoustic engineers on new projects in public space, such as airports and malls, to make the spaces more sonically useful for those who rely on their sense of hearing to help in wayfinding, to help in navigation, for sound is the star that they follow. I'm always careful, Chris says, to say that I'm without sight, but not without vision. When asked the toughest question for a confident blind person to answer, don't you still want to be able to see? Chris pauses thoughtfully and finally responds, I don't really think about having my sight restored. Yeah, there would be some logistical advantages, but would it make my life better? I don't think so. It's not what happens to us. It's what we do with what happens to us that matters. And the journeys and teachings of Jesus have opened my eyes to possibilities as surely as Chris Downey's eyes were opened. Jesus liberated many people, liberated them from the prisons of bad thoughts, religious idolatry, and forces of habit. Release from isolation and the bonds and heavy weights of shame, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, and ego. Jesus gave sight to many people who were unable to see. Unable to see the world, unable to see the damage, unable to see their own role in hurting people or their potential to help people. Unable to see the possibilities that remain. The possibilities that remain, the good news wrapped up in the bad news. And there's always good news wrapped up in the bad news. Journeys that will take us to places we might otherwise have never imagined. When I began my transition, it was good news for me, but I felt it was bad news for my calling. That's not true.
Amen. Amen.
It is knowing who we are, finding out who we are, and following the star of ourselves. What Jesus speaks of is now, today, in our own hearing, right now in your lives. We exist in that space that is between the right now and the not there yet. Between the not there yet and the right now. Next week, we learn what happened to Jesus and the consequences of coming out in your own hometown. That's my teaser for next week. You want to come in here. But for now, right now, find yourself. That's your charge. Find who you are. Find what you stand up for. Find what you believe. Make faith, make place for the Spirit within. Make place for the Spirit to lead and guide you, for yourself to be filled with the Spirit, and find your star, the thing to follow. That which will guide you. So may it be, and may it be so.